The miracle and sign is what happens in the heart. And what happens in the the soul of man when he believes and remembers the law of the Most High. The Quran don't say that money gives the heart satisfaction, sex gives the heart satisfaction, automobiles give the heart satisfaction, homes and fancy clothes give the heart satisfaction, drugs give the heart satisfaction. These things, the quest of these things, are some of the biggest causes of hypertension and high blood pressure, worry and pain in the whole wide world. And hypertension, they say, comes is kind of peculiar to the Babylonian man. Why? Because we give our whole quest to money, sex, automobile, homes, fancy clothes, drugs, and false images of Almighty God. We can't have nothing else but hypertension and high blood pressure and heart attacks if we go contrary to what Allah has intended for the human life, for the human being. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The Quran says, for without doubt, in the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find satisfaction. In this world, the more the people of the world gain the paltry goods, the trashy and trivial goods of this life, the greater becomes the hunger and the burning in the heart for those things. Not comfort. It don't come to the heart. Burning desire comes for the heart. When we look for those things, there comes a burning desire in the heart for those things, not comfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified and most high, he offers the life rest and satisfaction. Peace and happiness. He who seeks Allah, remembers Allah. The more we turn to Him, the greater the comfort of the heart and the peace of the mind. When you get more satisfaction out of remembering Allah than you do out of having money, out of having sex, riding pretty cars, living in pretty homes, wearing fancy clothes and using drugs, when you get more pleasure out of remembering Allah than that, that you're on the right track. This is the great secret of human happiness. Man can be, he can rest and be comfortable by remembering Allah, the Most High, the all-knowing, the all-powerful God, the maker, controller of the universe, sustainer, guardian, evolve of all worlds. Why can he find comfort and rest? By remembering Allah. Allah says to us in his Quran, remember me, and I'll remember you. This is a great secret to human happiness and growth and development in the human life. You mean if I have a problem, all I have to do is remember Allah and I'll find comfort? Yes. And it's not done spookily either. You mean if I have a problem in my marriage and I remember Allah, I'll find comfort? Yes. If you remember Allah, you'll remember what He has said about that thing, and you'll remember the solution that He has given us in His Quran and in the life and times of Prophet Muhammad, and you'll be able to solve the problem that you're confronted with. There's a great value in remembering Allah. Nothing greater, nothing can move us forward in our growth and development besides remembering Allah. People think that Allah cannot see everywhere at all times and in any circumstances. We think Allah needs light like we need light in order to see. But Allah's vision is just as clear in the dark as it is in the light. He sees all and knows all. There was a great scholar who had a disciple that he kind of favored. And in favoring this disciple, his other disciples kind of looked at it and kind of had problems with it. So Allah, this disciple wanted to show the other disciples why he looked to this one favored disciple. He gave each of his disciples a chicken. And he said, take this chicken someplace where no one can see and kill it, slaughter it. All the disciples went to a place where they thought no one could see, and they flayed their chicken, all except this favorite disciple. This favorite disciple, he came back with his chicken unflayed. And he says, I have found no place where no one can see, because Allah sees everywhere. Allahu Akbar. Our comments. The Quran says, if there was a Quran with which mountains were moved, or the earth was cloven asunder, or the dead were made to speak, this would be the one. But truly the command is with Allah in all things. Do not the believers know that had Allah so willed, he could have guided all mankind to the right? But the unbelievers, never will the disaster cease to seize them for their ill deeds, or to settle close to their homes until the promise of Allah comes to pass, for verily Allah will not fail in his promise. If there was a Quran, if there was a book, if there was a revelation, if there was a scripture, or way, or plan, or idea, or truth to move mountains, this would be the one. If there was a play, or way, or scripture, or divine truth to cut us under the earth, the Quran says, this would be the one. If there was a plan or a way to make the dead to speak, the Quran says, this would be the one. If there was a way to move the mountains of hardship, difficulty, sorrow from the human life, this is the one, the Quran. It solves political, social, economic, moral, and spiritual problems in a way that no other book can. It moves the mountains of resistance. There was a mountain of resistance to Prophet Muhammad when he first began his mission in pagan Arabia. The government of pagan Arabia was against the rise of truth, but that government is now a government of the Quran. The Quran removed the mountain and put into its place its truth. We hear all of the time from those who are weak that the GPMAM is dismantling and tearing down this community, the Nation of Islam. It is not the GPMAM when the Quran brought the Quran. And anything that's not Quranic is going to crumble when the Quran gets on the case. Whenever the chief imam is ready, we're ready for him. We're ready for him. We've been ready. We want to sit out there without saying what we have said so we can hear the chief imam. But we're ready for him. Anytime he wants to come out, we're ready for him. The Quran says, if there was something to cut asunder the earth, this would be the one. The earth being a picture of the rational activity in the human life, how Satan comes into the human life. If there was something to cut away Satan out of our lives, the Quran would be the one. If we want the dead to speak, well, who do you want to hear? You want to hear Abu Lahab? You want to hear the people of Ad? The people of Samud? You want to hear the Quraysh? Maryam, the mother of Jesus? Yusuf? Who do you want to hear speak? When you pick up the Quran, you can even hear the birds and the ant and the cow and the bees and the camels speak. Who is it that you want to hear? You want to hear dates and grapes and corn and pomegranate? Allah says, I have put a sign in all of those things. Who is it that you want to hear? You want to hear Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, even Prophet Muhammad? May Allah be pleased with all of them. You want to hear him speak? Pick up your Quran and you'll hear their message. Even our brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, Allah, highly glorified and most high, he has blessed this community. He has blessed this community with a great book, a great mujaddid who understands the book, who can connect us back to the truth of the Quran. This is a book that cannot be destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified and most high, he says that he protects it. If it was possible for us to pick up every Quran in its printed form and destroy it, there are Muslims who know it, who have the Quran on the memory, in their heart and in their minds, that if we could destroy every book, eventually Allah would make one come back to the earth and speak the words and put it down on paper, and the Quran would come right back to us. He says he's going to protect his word. But not only the written word, he's going to protect the spirit of it. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the spirit of the Quran, the spirit of the truth that's in it? When people get away from it, when people get away from the truth, this book, the Quran itself, will produce one called a mujaddid who gets into it and who studies it and who learns it and who Allah blesses with the divine light that comes from the pages of the Quran into their mind. Takbir. now, brothers and sisters, as we bring the TV man on, as we were saying, when if there was ever doubt or when people get away from the message of Quran, he would make the Quran itself come into the mind of a man or individual who could come forward and bring back the spirit of the Quran to the people, renew its message and its truth, not in the Quran, but in the hearts and the minds of the people who have gotten away from the truth. The truth never gets away from itself. The people get away from it, and someone is needed to come and bring them back to that truth. We got the one in our community in America, Imam W.D. Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum.
Shackles, yoke. He has to rise up from the selfishness that keeps them from doing a work that will rise them up from the low level of society. You know, many of us allow selfishness to hold us down. Before we do a work, we want to know, will it benefit me and me only? But what in the world can we do in the world that will benefit me and me only? You will never be able to do much in the world unless you like to see other people benefit from what you do. That's the Muslim way. Well, as you know, this is Fourth Sunday, but this is also teaching day called Ta'aleem. Ta'aleem. This is day for teaching and Ta'aleem. So I'm not going to give you one of the standard sermons today. We're going to do some teaching, and it has to be related to the teachings of the Quran, the life, work of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and the blessings be upon him. It has to be Islamic in its base and in its purpose. We have come a long way, and I thank Allah that we are finally getting where we wanted to go. We know that the Quran has always been the supreme book, the supreme message among us. It was a kind of mystery message. We weren't allowed to really get into it under the honor of Elijah Muhammad. But we were told to respect it. And we were even given rules to follow so that we would have no question in our mind as to what kind of respect the Holy Quran deserves. We were told to never touch it unless our hands are clean. We were told to never put it under another book. If you have a stack of books, and the Holy Quran is one of those books, all of Elijah Muhammad, they put the Holy Quran on top of them. And all of Elijah Muhammad said, in your home, keep it in the highest place in your home. The highest place in your home. All of Elijah Muhammad said many other things. Like he said things that even make us wonder about his belief and respect for the Holy Quran. Well, we do know he taught us to respect it and to put it high in the highest place in our homes, and by doing that, he put it in the highest place in our minds. No true follower of Honor of Elijah Muhammad can lie about that. We all know that the Holy Quran was the highest in our minds. He never told us to treat any other literature with the reverence, the kind of respect that he commanded for the Holy Quran. Yes. So now they say, well, we're following TV man, we're waiting, we're watching him. We want to know where he's going. What is his program? Well, we're going to the Holy Quran. And what is his program? El Islam. That's what it always been. Not quite as equipped to carry it out as we are today. And the direction has always been the Holy Quran. Long Elijah Muhammad used more Bible than he did the Holy Quran. But he said, the Bible is a graveyard of my people. He said, it's a poison book. He said, the Holy Quran is a perfect book. Holy book. Hasn't been mixed or tampered with in any form. And he says, Islam is the salvation of my people. He didn't say politics. He didn't say black nationalism. He didn't say pan-Africa. He said, Islam is the salvation of my people. Being solved. don't let us think along. But we have lived to see the judgment day. And, you know, we were told that many of us would go down. He didn't say only the Caucasian was going to be judged and condemned. He said many of us would be condemned right along with them. Because we followed their wicked ways. Is that right? And when I came in to this office and became your chief minister, now chief imam, which means minister, but not in a priestly sense, imam is just one who leads the congregation. When I came into this office, I found many of our own people that had fallen victim to the wickedness of the wicked world that we ourselves, as ministers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, were constantly preaching and condemning. Yeah. He said most of his followers would leave. There's going to be a great falling away. Many of us still looking for the great falling away. You don't have to be outside of the house to be falling away. There was a house full of people who had fell away. They say, well, you know, he said there's going to be a great falling away. So we expect things to get real bad. We ain't going to have people around here to support the program. People weren't around then. They had brought in contrary programs, on wicked programs that were hurting the good life that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had nourished with the virtuous teachings of the scriptures. Yes. So see, who can show you the way if you think you know everything? But if you don't think you know everything, you can see the light today. I wouldn't have come into no understanding if I thought I knew everything. I knew I didn't know everything. I knew I needed much understanding. That there was more unknown than there was known. And I sought guidance. And I respected it wherever I found it. That's how come I'm standing right here before you now as chief imam of the World Community of Al-Islam in the West. You can't rise up in this world or in any world thinking that you know more than everybody else. Thinking that you have come to the apex of human achievement, of the knowledge, oh, I've reached the sky. I'm on top of the Mount Everest. I'm supreme. You'll never make it that way. You have to be humble. You have to be aware of your own shortcomings. And your own human limitations. God has said that He made the human being in the most excellent mold. The most excellent mold. The design that God gave the human being for human excellence is the greatest in all the creation. Human being, because of that gift from God, he's able to reach the height of growth in this material or in this creation, physical creation. Reach a height that may put him over all the animals, all the plant life, even bring into his service sun, moon, stars, wind, rain, everything, lightning. Do you know this is a reality? that lightning has been brought into human service, that the sun has been and is now being brought into human service, not just as an object out there shining on us and ruling our solar system, the physical solar system, but as a utility out there, just like iron in the earth, or gas in the earth, or the wind that used to turn the windmill, or the wheels that used to turn the dynamo for electricity. These things are utilities for us, and human beings have devised methods and devices that enable him to get this utility. And we are devising now things to enable us to get utility from the sun. All of these things have been rendered as a service for the human being by Almighty God. And God says that he has made the human being Zayfar, which means weak. And he says that the man has been made in the most excellent form. But as a consequence, consequently, he is reduced to the lowest of the low. Because he thinks himself self-sufficient, thinks himself the Almighty I, who can take charge of his affairs and work out his own future and bring peace and success and prosperity to himself while ignoring the guidance of God. This kind of independent arrogance on the part of the individual brings him down to the lowest of the low. Yes. But we have to understand that we are a creation of God, and that we also are the design of God. God designed it. We didn't design ourselves. God created us, and God designed our make, our nature, our human make. And he knows best how to service the machine when something goes wrong with it. He knows best what kind of manual, what kind of direction the machine should be given in order for it to remain in good shape, perishable. We don't know. Allah knows. What am I telling you? Unless you admit that there is a supreme being, not human being, over you, before you, before creation itself, bigger than you, bigger than creation itself, not like you, not like anything of creation, until you accept that you are not on the right path, and you are not possible, there's not a possible way to save you. Until you first acknowledge God as being other than you, before you, your maker, your creator, your designer. Until you acknowledge that, you can't go anywhere. There's no possible exercise that can be dreamed up or worked out that can exercise you into divine form. There's only one divine, that's God. You can exercise yourself into obedience, and that's what you should do. Exercise yourself into obedience to Almighty God. But don't think that you can come to some knowledge that will bring you into a divine mind. The only divine mind is the Word of God. You listen to the Word of God, you're listening to a divine mind. The human mind is not divine and can never be divine. Some people think that the human being is like a light bulb, that if you connect him up with divine power, he will become a divine light. Is it can't come on until it's made and then put near the electricity, connected to the light source. And it comes on, right? Do you think the light bulb can tell you how the light came on? The light bulb wasn't made to tell us how the light came on. The light bulb knows nothing. It only shines because it was connected to a light, and it had been designed to reflect that light, or to carry that live electricity. Is that right?
Yes.
So a human being, if a human being speaks wonderful words of wisdom, and we see a light there, should we think that the human being then has the power to turn the light on? The bulb can't turn the light on. He was just fortunate to be in the right situation and in the right condition at that moment or at that instance. He might not even know himself the light came on. The people may say, we saw a light. He might probably didn't even know it himself. He has no power over it. He can't turn it on and off for himself. No human being has any divine power. That's what I'm telling you. No human being has any divine power. No human being ever had divine power. Oh, what about these healers who touch you and you're healed? The scriptures say Jesus touched people and they were healed. And he said, your faith has saved you. He didn't say my power saved you. He said, your faith has saved you. God will love me for my obedience to this God-fearing man. If people have that kind of faith, God will reward that faith. God will reward that faith. But the individual himself has no power. I do nothing of myself. Isn't that what Jesus says in the New Testament? I do nothing of myself. Had no power to do anything. And of the future, to look into the future and to see what will happen tomorrow, he says, no man knows. Not even the sun. So if we listen to the words of Revelation, the words of Scripture, closely enough, and don't let our own blind ignorance, our own short knowledge, blind us to what the page is saying, we can come out of a lot of this ignorance that we've been in without even becoming Muslim. What I'm saying is a Christian doesn't have any excuse to be in the ignorance that most of this world is in. A Jew doesn't have an excuse to be in the ignorance, in the depths of it, as most of this world is. Yes. All praises to Allah. There's still some people that are so much in love with themselves that they can't see the light. Oh. No matter what I say, no matter how plainly I say it, there's still some people who want to call me a prophet, call me a messenger, call me a divine being. I drink water and I eat food. I sleep, and when I wake up, I don't know what the hell was going on while I was asleep. And I use water and soap just like everybody else. And sometimes I have to take medicine. And sometimes your problems worry the hell out of me. But all praise is due to Allah. He cannot be affected. He cannot be affected or affected by anything.
He was before everything. And he didn't make nothing to be a problem to him. That's God. That's not me.
All praise due to Allah.
We have to come to right understanding. That's the only way. And when we come to right understanding and follow it, are we on the road to progress? Real progress. Lasting. Thank you. Lasting progress. You can come in with a lot of equipment, a lot of machinery, and you can throw up something overnight.